Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Dave Murray at 4:45. The very latest, not only on some more snow heading to St. Louis, but the fires in Los Angeles. In the next hour, coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, David Strom from hotair.com. Wait till you hear the piece that Dave wrote about the snail darter, which is something that they tried to protect in California. From destruction. Here's a slight problem. The snail darter apparently never even existed. Like, the species didn't exist. And we'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. Our friend Ilya Shapiro is back with us. He's the director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. There's a couple of things happening with the Supreme Court. And then he wrote an interesting piece on masking, not the COVID type, a little different. Ilya, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well.
Let me start before I get to the masking topic, which I love, but talk about the hearing on TikTok and what's going on. Is that something going on tomorrow at the Supreme Court?
Yes, this is an expedited briefing and argument at the Supreme Court tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Eastern on the constitutionality of the bill that forces the divestiture of TikTok from its Chinese parent company. And if they don't divest, then they can't operate in the U.S. And the argument challenging it is that this is a free speech violation. I support the government here, frankly.
Yeah.
I think it's a national security concern. And if an American buyer took over TikTok, it could operate in exactly the same way. So I don't think it's a free speech concern.
So is there a way to gauge how they may handle that tomorrow?
I mean, we'll see. The lower courts, with judges appointed by presidents of different parties, have all ruled for the government in favor of the constitutionality of this bipartisan legislation. But we'll see from argument. Everybody's going to be focused on the, as always, on the middle triumvirate of Roberts, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
So the other thing before the court, isn't Trump asking the Supremes to block the hush money sentencing from Mershon?
He is. And unclear on what basis, because there's no presidential immunity, I don't think, involved there. They've already turned down an appeal on the substance, as far as I know. And Marchand has indicated that he's not going to sentence Trump to even probation or anything like that. So it's going to be a nominative punishment, as it were. So I doubt the Supreme Court is going to want to get involved here.
Let's talk about your piece that was in the Free Press on masking, because this is something we've seen. I mean, if you watch some of the videos from, not this week in Los Angeles with the fires, but some of the mass looting and things that have gone on with the crazy shopping center videos that we've seen, a lot of these people are wearing masks. We've seen it here in St. Louis, and they're not wearing masks to protect themselves from COVID. They're wearing masks, Ilya, to not be identified on cameras, right?
Yeah, in this day and age, outside of a very tiny minority of people who wear masks for occupational or health or religious purposes, almost everybody who is wearing a mask is doing it for no good reason, whether they're robbing a store, intimidating people, or some other nefarious purpose to commit a crime and not be identified.
So you when you wrote about this, we've had some terrible things happen on the subways in New York. Someone was set on fire. You had the situation where a man was thrown in front of an oncoming subway train. And Ilya, I've seen some, you know, videos and pictures of people on the subway where they're not standing close to the tracks anymore because they're afraid of something like that happening. But you quote a guy by the name of Richie Torres, who's a Democrat congressman from the Bronx, and he said this. He said, wearing a mask for the purpose of committing crimes against innocent New Yorkers or for the purpose of intimidating and harassing Jewish students on college campuses should be strictly prohibited by state law. So that's something you think would have an effect. And there's, this is what's interesting to me, there's precedent here for banning masking, right?
Yeah, it's like more than century-old laws to go after the KKK. That the purpose of wearing a mask is to intimidate, and that's not appropriate. It's to intimidate or to conceal your identity while you're committing a crime. So there's, you know, I've come up with colleagues at the Manhattan Institute with model legislation that can be implemented. Different states have it. A variety of states, blue, red, north, south, east, west. New York had the oldest anti-masking law in the country, but repealed it during COVID, and there's been some hesitance to bring it back. And yet, part of the reasons why vandals and assaulters and all these people, whether with respect to the pro-Hamas protests or anything else, why they are increasingly not prosecuted is because in New York City, the prosecutors say we have a hard time finding who it is exactly because they're all masked. And not all of the masking is, you know, it's not a panacea. Pushing people in front of a subway, not all those people are masked, but it's my colleagues at the Manhattan Institute have been doing a lot of work on the kind of part and parcel of the lawlessness and disorder. And certainly an anti-masking measure would contribute to pushing back on that.
So would it, when you would model any kind of statute or legislation like that, would it have to be very nuanced? You even admit in your piece, Ilya, you're a free speech guy, and that there would be people probably flagging something like this for infringing on free expression, right?
Well, you don't have a right to be out in public anonymously. You have a right to write anonymously using a pseudonym and things like this. Judges are very good and do all the time evaluate claims of religious objections to things for sincerity. They don't evaluate religious doctrine, but for sincerity. And so they can similarly look at these people and say, you know, do you have a bona fide health or religious or occupational reason for wearing this mask? Or are you doing it literally for no good reason, that is to prevent identification while you are engaged in unlawful intimidation, harassment, vandalism, assault, etc.?
Would that type of,
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The situation be a municipality only, or could it be a statewide law or a federal law, or is it just something that would have to be?
All of the above. So
okay.
Cities do have their own bylaws. I think it's one of the counties on Long Island, I forget whether it's Suffolk or Nassau, passed a law this past summer and has prosecuted people with it and, you know, stopped them and arrested them for wearing masks and found guns and knives and things like this. So it's worked there. But at the state level, you know, lots of states have them. All of the above is the answer.
There's a lot of focus that this show has on the free press today. And let me just ask you, did you read the piece by, and I'm not sure if it's Margie or Margie Conklin, on the Facebook fact checkers situation?
Yes.
Yeah, it was excellent. I just kind of ran that down before the top of the hour. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd love your perspective on that because she really explains extremely well what happened several years ago. She's a New York Post reporter who wrote about maybe a Wuhan lab leak and then all of a sudden discovered that the story was being spiked by, you know, Facebook, et cetera. And that became alarming. And obviously states like Missouri got involved with some suits that went before the Supremes. And the free speech case on that side of the equation is pretty interesting. And I loved her column. And I loved what Mark Zuckerberg finally did, Ilya. But I think you'd probably realize if it was Kamala, I don't know that he would have done it, right?
That's right. I mean, CEOs respond to political wins and to the incentives that they face. So I don't think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg in his heart of hearts really cares one way or another, frankly. he just wants to make money and gain influence and have a Facebook be an important player in the cultural landscape. And he sees now that the movement is toward the non-censorship and not policing so-called misinformation and what have you. But yeah, the role of fact checkers in general, and then in the context of Facebook or social media, has been a disturbing turn in the last decade or so.
Well, and that one in particular, she points out that the expert, the so-called expert that was advising Facebook to censor the piece, was someone who had worked with researchers at Wuhan, so it wasn't that convenient. Do you, Ilya Shapiro, have any kind of connections to Los Angeles and what's happening out there? Any family or anything?
No, I mean, obviously, I've been there many times, and I'm due to be out there in less than a month, frankly. My hotel that I booked is in Sherman Oaks, which apparently is okay, but it's right on the edge of that area, one of those Palisades areas that's up in flames. So, I know exactly where this is all going on. I have friends around there, and it frustrates me that, wildfires happen all the time. This is not a new, climate change phenomenon, and it frustrates me that lawmakers at the municipal and state level, despite legislation being passed to top up reservoirs and change certain practices, just have been completely committing malpractice. This is a lot of the fires are not preventable, but the damage, a lot of it is.
Ilya, have a Happy New Year. We can still say Happy New Year. We went over that a couple of days ago. We think it's okay to say Happy New Year to people that we haven't spoken to all the way through the end of January. So I'm going to put that under the qualification. You have a great week and a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
All right. You too, Mark.
All right. Take care. Hey, one of the things I should have maybe asked Ilya this question, because it's on the screen right now. If you look at the funeral, you'll see the gathering of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. Joe Biden was there. Kamala, the first gentleman. But Trump was sitting next to Obama. And I don't even see Michelle there. I don't think that she's there. We have Mrs. Bush and Melania is there. So they started talking to one another, right? And they're going back and forth, and everyone wants to know what they say. So there's been a lip reader that has gotten involved
here. Oh, really?
And this is Colin Rugg, who does some great stuff on Twitter, and Sean Spicer retweeted this too. It says, Trump told Obama, this is the best that they're coming up with, and I'm being serious, this is the analysis right now. Trump told Obama that he had to find a quiet place to speak with him regarding an urgent, quote, matter of importance, according to the New York Post. The revelation was made by forensic lip reader Jeremy Freedom. Trump, now he kind of doesn't have every word, but Trump says something like, I pulled out of that. It's the conditions. Can you imagine that? And there's a few other things that Trump says, like he says, call me at the foy, and they don't know exactly. And then I can't talk. Trump says, I can't talk. We have to find a quiet place sometime. This is a matter of importance, and we need to do this outside that we can deal with it certainly today. So I don't know what that was, but that is interesting, and we'll have to see. But they were yucking it up, having fun. Kamala kind of gave him the side eye at one point because they seemed to be having a little bit too much fun at the former president's funeral. But that was fascinating today. We're coming back with Dave Murray, the very latest on the fires, and we got more snow heading our way.
Get more at 971talk.com.